Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
podcast while driving. I'm going off to yet another medical appointment, and surprisingly they'll do this podcast about current projects updates. Now, I did give a talk about the projects that I'm working on, and you know what I was going to do last evening, and that's last all hour, and this is one straight afterwards. And I suppose it's just the benefits of a night's rest and letting your brain organize itself. So just to give you a general idea, rather than just focusing on goals, focusing on a system reconfiguration, which repositions my identity as a invalid person to someone who's expert. So that's the new identity shift which I'm trying to get. So I'm systematically working away at these projects, which you'll be able to see demonstrates quite clearly sort of undeniable knowledge of advanced maths. One of the problems is that if you've got advanced maths, people can easily, if the standard way of handling it is that they don't understand it. They understand that credited great people do it, but you know, the average Joe Blow, you can just, if you can really dismiss them. So the idea is that you develop these projects, and the projects I've called RISI. Richie projects. Sorry, I'm just getting the pronunciation correct. After this person who found sort of the Ming Dynasty impossible to penetrate, and so just set about quietly doing scientific experiments and demonstrating it to the court in a sort of a science experiment ripoff. Now, this may not occur here. I may not get the opportunity here. And the situation is that I'm finding it's roughly it's something around 30% of mistakes I make. And then there's 30% of mistakes inside the system, and there's another 30% or 40% mistakes where they're just out there. It's hard to get across. So I'm doing the several projects. One is the Einstein to Haas project, and I've got this rather neatly up and demonstration. It's actually quite surprisingly effective. Like, it's too effective. It's such a strong effect. And this is where you have a axial magnetic field, not a radial, an axial magnetic field going up the guts of a ferrite rod. And this rotates the ferrite rod. And you can have heaps of fear in the system in terms of rotation is one mode of the pendulum. You can sort of knock out the other modes, leave only the rotation mode, and so that any perturbation to it will turn up as this rotation mode. It's just then you have to build the pendulum sufficiently symmetrical such that this doesn't occur, and just doing slow upgrades on. And in my head, I had a series of upgrades, you know, I could place sort of bands in slightly different positions, put things in, just slowly upgrade it. But just last night, I realized, I can actually, there's a 900 millimeter, is it 90 millimeter? Yeah. 9 centimeter long, I think it is, ferrite rod. I can triple the length, but it's buying three rods and gluing them together, because they don't conduct, they don't need to be connected, they can be just, they are actually sintered products, so you can actually just set them up and glue them together. And I realised that I can set about three of these up, and the great thing about this is that it means that you can have a let's get this straight. So I'm just going to have to park here for the moment. So I'm just going to stop and concentrate because you don't want to crash doing it. So there's a limited number of parks. Oh shit! Sorry, I just missed. I missed two. Is there another one there? I missed another one. Oh, I'm not going to get this one up here for sure. Not so bad. Look, I'll be back with you in a moment. So, the bottom line is that I'm just the next generation of thinking is I'm realizing that I should just leave this. Build near enough, and the next build is conceptually more advanced. So I can use some of the equipment, but just in the space of tonight or this morning, sort of just I don't know how to build a more technically advanced one. I'll be back again, and bear in mind it's more advanced than what's out there at the moment. It's shocking. Be back with you soon. Okay, I finished that errand and I'm setting off to join some absolutely hectic traffic and checking behind. So you just wait for a while. I know where I'm up to talking about the Einstein to Haas and the decision to go, whoops, let's go next generation with it. So next generation is, can I beat the so you get a bonus if you can have volume for increase the volume for no increase or reduced radius, you get a square effect. So already with the lightness of the material, I've got probably a factor of 10 or 30, possibly even 100 above other people's devices. Then just by the nature of it, I've got an efficient magnetic field. However, so I can actually make a rather than a 90 millimeter device, 270 millimeter device. Now, what this means is it's you've got various modes of oscillation which you want to get rid of. One is the we've got the rotating. You can have it rocking about the center of mass. You can have it, that is, it tilts, it wants to rock and tilt. And this is all in interaction of a permeable material in a magnetic field. So not only has the magnetic field to be uniform, it's got to, in the experience of the permeable material, not create a path for it to slide across. So if you have one of these rods in a magnetic field, it will tend to be pulled across. Now, by sort of laws of symmetry, if you can have the switching so incredibly fast, that's not going to count as much. But you also want to eliminate most of these modes. So one of the things to do is have a very long, heavy one. Then you can increase your spring speed, sort of make it a bit more, you know, increase the forces associated with it. Now, the other thing is making a solenoid. Now, the last solenoid I made is, I built one solenoid, I had to unwind it to make it a slightly larger energy density one. Now, according to me, this is the entire thing that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to hit experiments, which I say, I don't know where this is going. I've done the maths, but you know what? I'd be surprised. It's a bit shocking to me if it works. Now, unfortunately, for people when they see it, because they've got none of this anticipation, there's none of this feeling that it's not going to work. So they just send yet another phenomena, which they just, quantum mechanics up, your computer's up, I've seen everything. I should explain that you are in a different category of life and experience. When I was at a festival in the Blue Mountains, Christmas festival, a little girl ran past me with a blue LED wand. And I had, you know, along with the sequencing of human DNA and all this type of stuff, said, there will never be a blue LED. I sort of come to the conclusion, I've sort of looked at the problem, thought, too hard, there's sort of nothing really obvious. And when I saw it, I just shouted, hallelujah, I'd seen it. And everyone thought I had some sort of religious experience. But in fact, I'd just seen a blue LED. So in these cases, now the Einstein de Haas is working, I've just got to convince myself that there's no parasitic effect. And parasitic effect is by designing the pendulum sufficiently elegantly. And the lighter it is, the lighter the pendulum is, the lighter the spring is, the harder it is to build. Well, if you build something really, really tiny, if you just got your big clammy fists in your shed, you cannot really build it. So my big hope is that I will build the world's longest ferrite de Haas rod, and I will... But I'm going to do something different. Rather than have a solenoid free, I'm going to have actual wire, copper wire, because now I've got enough to play with, I've got enough de Haas to play with. I'll actually bind the wire to the actual ferrite and then have the last coil of wire just loose. And so just coil it coming off, it will act as an actual torsion thing for it. Now, of course, for all this, you've got the problem of your size of your solenoid gives you your heating. Okay, so you've got a problem of heat dissipation. So this is why essentially I've got this larger solenoid. But the larger solenoid doesn't actually really matter all that much in that your ferrite will gather up your magnetic field. So the magnetization will increase the magnetic field inside it. Therefore, you'll actually gather the magnetic field around the outside. Also, if you have a very long one, the magnetic field strength is proportional to an extent, just the number of turns. So the longer you make it, the greater the magnetic field you can have. So I've just got a feeling, and I sort of know how to actually build this one to work. And obviously, it's going to be a lot simpler, more robust project. So I'm at the stage now that, yeah, by gosh, I'd like my special supply, but I have to be patient. I've asked my friend Dave back at school, and he's just may or may not do it. I don't know. And I just have to say, look, I don't have the supply at the moment. Then I've got the Ritchie 2 experiment. Look, I'm doing fantastic. 7, I'm actually streaming ahead for time. I've got about 10 minutes time ahead here. So there's no point speeding. We're going into a 40 kilometre zone, an hour zone here. So keep that nice and low. Keep concentrating on the road. Yeah, that's Ritchie 1. And so there is something very much... Oh, and the only small addition here is I'm going to change... do the twist with Einstein's face with do Z twist, Z-E twist. Do Z twist. I think I've still got the graphic. I'll just do that there so you have a little look at Einstein's head moving from side to side. Then Ritchie, so that's Ritchie 1. Ritchie 2 is a Thompson's Thompson effect experiment, and I had sort of built one component, and it was sort of just going to be a bit yucky. But again, in my head, I began reconfiguring it, and this morning. And the kitchen table. Okay, what are you doing here, mate? Okay, free to go. Oh, person's having a bit of a sort of a holiday coming around here. Okay, so this one, I've fortunately got my trusty fiberglass tenting pole, which I picked up one night. I've been slowly breaking it up and using it. And I've used that as a former to make a central heater. So the idea is that you have a wire which is hot in the center, and the current flowing into that heat resistor will cool down, and on the opposite side it will heat up. There'll be a heating effect due to the Peltier effect, the differential Peltier effect, the temperature coefficient of the Peltier effect. Now, this for me is very interesting. And so what I've done is that I said, well, you get the two wires together, the in and out wires together, and you put a mark on both of them, and you use the thermal coefficient of expansion to be your thermometer. Your wire is your thermometer. Then I thought, oh, this is going to be really hard. And then I've got to make sure that it bends, it extends that the held together, the hot end and the cool end, is the moving end. And then, so that led to certain things where I put the wires down at 90 degrees at the cooling end and tapped in so you could see the relative edge of it. And then I built this fairly complex geometry, which I described last night. And a little cup looks fantastic, looks gorgeous, and it's very obvious what's happening. But hard to implement. And now the problem is that these little wire, this little bit of fencing wire I've got, I reuse. I wind up once, like, oh, that's not good enough. And unfortunately, it's getting very kinked and very leaky. But I've used it again, and what I've done is I've got a little bit of a decent heating section, a straight wire. And the straight wire is all on one axis, and what will happen, and it's held on either end. Now what will happen is that when it heats up, it will expand left and right. You know, it will expand in the center, and it will sort of bow forward. Now, that's okay. So what I need, and if one leg expands more than the other, it will actually tip one way or the other, so I should be able to see that with a microscope. And one of the problems is if you build this device big, there's no way you can get it underneath a microscope. However, I've worked out that you can attach a very fine wire to the central coil of your heater. And actually, I'll just have a good look around here. Okay, you get a very fine wire to the central coil of your heater. And so I'm just paying attention, Sunny Ridge. Okay, a very fine wire to the central coil of your heater. And and then it should, you know, I've got a throw switch, which I'm working on. I'll make sure I haven't lost that. Under the wire. So this is a short distance where I really, really sort of ache for my favourite power supply, so I can see the current going into it and I can understand what's going on. So this is a little bit suboptimal here. Now, this is absolutely great here. Now, I have to watch what's going on here. Oh, yeah. So, if I can say, I don't know whether they have it overseas, in Australia, in a lot of the country places, instead of a curb, which is a big, heavy curb, you can... It's just a slope up, a little concrete slope up, so you can drive onto the nature strip. And if you if there's parking problems, you can get around them. You've got this beautiful thing. I do it all the time. It takes the terror out of parking. So I've got this device set up, and then in linear format, you've got this problem that you can't dip the wire. So you've got high temperature and low temperature. So the low temperature on either side, I've got as I used to have it going into a central bath. And the great thing of an oil bath is it's the same temperature. It's a known thing. But I've made a compromise that, and I've folded up these little aluminium pillows. This is just a strip of aluminium foil. And I'll get told if I've used too much, I've got to be really careful not to use too much of the kitchen foil. Folded up, and then I've crimped it as basically a lightweight heat sink. A heat sink for it. And, the whole idea is I've tried to make it as symmetrical as possible. And then at the end of this, I've then bent the wire down a little Z shape and then coil it around this former, this fiberglass tent pole, would be about 2 millimeter diameter. And it was actually quite entertaining to get the idea that I used a sharp kitchen knife to cut it, and it just fell apart beautifully. Whereas if you try and use wire cutters, all the fibers come out. So I shouldn't be doing that sort of thing. And so that's built at this stage, Richie 2. Now, Richie 3 is a complicated thing. I'm sort of working out the steps for that. I've just got a call in from Urbana, US, saying they're interested. Now, the problem is that I respond to them and respond in such a way that I don't get a response back from them. So I've just got to learn what's going on here. But what I want to do is I've now realised that going into the visitors information centre, I've got to get past the person on the front desk, and what I want them to do is just have an A4 picture at the back, black A4 with the sun located there. I might even just get a black A4 piece of paper. It's the sun. And I'm just really struggling with that. So, but I can actually do is, because I'm allowed to put it on the community notice board. Just put this on the community notice board, I'll be able to get going. And one of the things is that the entire concept, although it's got a certain amount of attraction of people having bottle stars, that's great. They love that. Oh, give me a bottle star for this. Commanders, oh, I have to change my traditional way of communicating. Is a bit hard, so I just have to. Okay, it's just giving me a thought on how to address this issue. Look, thanks a lot for listening. I'll get back to you. I don't know what I'll do the next podcast on. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.